Hey, welcome to Free Talk Live. The phones are open, as always, here, and you're welcome to join us. Bring up whatever you want to discuss. All you have to do is dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And Chris.
Looking sharp in your Free the Crypto 6 shirt. Nobody, thank you.
Yeah, those guys rock.
I love the shirts we're wearing, actually, right now. They're all nice. Pretty good. Forkfest, Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, Free the Crypto 6.
Forkfest, by the way, coming up in, I don't know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks,
is
something
that soon?
Like that. Yeah, it's going to be. Before you know it, we will be there. At least I hope that I'll be there.
I was thinking we had a couple of months. I need to get on top of some of that stuff I was working on earlier today.
Yeah, no doubt. And I did talk to my attorney today, so he's got to put in a motion to get my ankle monitor removed in the hopes that I'll actually be able to get
I saw
there,
that.
So. You nice. Saw that?
Well, I mean, because it gets posted to the docket and it was...
I don't believe it has been filed.
I think it did.
I don't think so. I just spoke with him today, early this morning.
I could be mistaken, yeah, but I thought there was a motion put in. Maybe it was a different motion.
No. There was something. So what happened this week was Aria and I had a bail hearing or a what they call an arraignment on the additional charges that they loaded us up with. That happened yesterday, I think it was, or Wednesday. And so we were able to waive our appearance at that particular hearing.
No, this said something about changing condition of bail or something like that.
Okay. Well, maybe you've seen something that that I haven't. So I'll have to take. Oh, yeah, you're right. Modified conditions of release. Well, he did get on that.
Man.
Better than I expected.
That's a fast lawyer.
It's funny. Every once in a while, I'll find something out before you do. It's really funny. Like, I'll bring it up and I'll be like, oh, wait, I don't want to tell you about it or whatever.
That's weird because I had seen something else come through today. And so that one just got slipped by me. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, no problem.
So, anyway, the number here is 603-283-6160. We got a lot to talk about tonight, including, is it going to be the case that copyright law is going to change significantly? Chris, you've got that story. That's on the way here tonight. Plus, we can also talk about a town in Spain that has declared itself independent from Spain.
Nice.
And we like our good independence stories here, secession news, so we'll get into that too. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. A small town in Catalonia. You guys remember when Catalonia was in news for trying to secede from Spain?
Well, a lot of people got arrested, a lot of the politicians there, if I recall.
Yeah, there was a huge crackdown by the government goons in Madrid. They sent in police from all over the country to go to Catalonia and literally crack people's heads who were trying to come and vote for independence. It was an insane situation.
It really was.
So it's back now to some extent, or at least in a small town. They did successfully manage to put down the uprising, so to speak. Of course, it was completely peaceful uprising.
I don't know if you can call it an uprising, though.
I mean, the uprising would have... the only violence was on the part of the state.
Right.
But it was, you know, uppity people that wanted to say goodbye.
Sure.
And now a small town has declared itself liberated from Spanish controls, according to IrishTimes.com, as activists say they're beginning a new strategy of confrontation with the state to gain independence for their region. On Saturday in Bascara, in the northeastern region, activists set up informal checkpoints at the entrances to the town, which has a population of just 1,000 people, to mark its supposed border with Spain. Checkpoints were manned by locals who waved the Estelada secessionist flag and handed out homemade Catalan passports to those entering the town.
Huh.
Now, they sound pretty organized. They've got their own passport already. They've got their own flag. And there has been some talk that there should be a flag contest here for New Hampshire, because the New Hampshire flag... it kind of sucks.
It does. It really does.
It's got one of those Spanish, I don't know if it's Spanish, but one of those ships on it. sailing ships where they, I don't know if it was one of the ones that discovered the New World or whatever. I'm not sure what ship it's supposed to be, but it's one of those kind of things. And on the ship, there's a damn American flag. So within the New Hampshire flag, there is a United States flag.
That's obviously interesting.
It wasn't originally there.
That can't be the original flag. Although, yeah. Didn't New Hampshire not have a flag for
I don't know. That's a good
on?
Question. I don't know what the history is. Yeah. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, it was. I think there might have been some other flag, but it wasn't like a New Hampshire flag.
Mm.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of the something along the lines of a Gadsden or a Gadsden porcupine with
ooh, yeah.
Live Free or Die.
I like that.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good.
You know, the yellow and black theme's going to sell to the libertarian community for sure.
But oh,
the,
yeah.
The idea that was being thrown around was that the New Hampshire, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence should run a contest and do a crowdsource, basically, and say, hey, if you've got an idea for what should the nation of New Hampshire or Republic of New Hampshire, whatever it would end up being called, what should the flag look like once we peacefully secede from the United States? I think that could generate some controversy, generate some buzz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get some interest going on and might actually come up with a pretty good flag idea.
It's not a bad idea.
What was it before? Was it the Republic of New Hampshire?
That's an excellent question. I don't know if it had a preface.
Oh, I feel like I should know this. You know, Josh is always talking about this issue with the coins. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 cent, Josh. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know what the answer is, but yeah.
It might have just been New Hampshire. I'm not sure about that.
No, Providence question. Of New Hampshire? Something like that?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate.
A province is usually a subdivision of a larger
right.
Whole.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because remember, New Hampshire did declare its independence and was its own nation for some few years before they joined the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because the New Hampshire used to have a president. And
yeah.
They changed that in the Constitution to be the governor after joining the United States. And I think it was, wasn't it like 1784 or something? I apologize for not being the history buff to have all the dates exactly correct. But I believe that New Hampshire became its own country sometime in the 1770s. Again, don't remember the exact date on that. In fact, there's a claim that Rhode Island beat New Hampshire to it. But people in New Hampshire have been debating them about that and claiming that that is not true and that New Hampshire actually declared independence a few months earlier than Rhode Island. So Rhode Island has gotten credit for being the first, but purportedly the truth is it actually was New Hampshire that was the first to say goodbye.
Nice.
So they got passports too, apparently, in this this little town, Bascara in Catalonia, Spain. And that's a tough thing to find, by the way. I remember years ago I looked into it because I remember hearing about the Conch Republic. Do you guys know what that is?
Vaguely. So vaguely. Wasn't that a shell game of some sort?
No. No. It is Key West, Florida. Years ago, they declared their independence, apparently, and declared themselves the Conch Republic or something like that. I don't remember how exactly the process went. I don't know how serious they were about it either, but they did come out with their own passport, and you can order that from whatever remains of the Conch Republic organization, or at least you could as of several years ago when I last looked into it. And it made me wonder, like, what does it take to get passports made? That's a pretty tough service to find, unless you're, you know, talking about going to a black market provider or something like that. And you can't just go online.
And he's
going
to make you something that looks just like somebody else's passport. So that's not what you want.
Yeah, you can't just go online and find a company that makes passports. It's just generally, it's not an easy service to find. I mean, there must be those people out there, that there must be companies that do it. But it's not one of those things you can easily find with an internet search. At least I wasn't able to pull it up.
What was that? You had another passport at one point, though.
Yeah, and
you?
I had to surrender it to the federal government to get out of jail.
Yeah.
You're thinking of the world passport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you sent them an email, they would tell you who made their passports.
They do an interesting thing. And for those that aren't familiar with the world passport, it's a pretty cool idea that, you know, people that need a passport in countries where it's difficult to get them or refugees or whatever can reach out to the World Service Authority and they can get themselves issued a passport. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat process. It tends to be ignored and not respected in any way, shape, or form by all the immigration bureaucrats all around the planet. But
I can relate to that.
It's a neat concept, at least. I liked it. I hope I get it back someday soon. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Just dial in at 603-283-6160. We're talking about a little bit about secession here tonight. And what got the conversation started in this case is a story out of Catalonia, which is the secessionist region of Spain that, I don't know, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, tried to peacefully say goodbye. And the government of Madrid said they weren't going to be having any of that and brought in hundreds of cops from maybe even thousands of them from all around the country to put a stop to it. If you remember,
it's like having a husband who loves you so much. If you try to leave him, he'll kill you.
Yeah, indeed. One of the funniest parts about what was ultimately a just awful situation was they had actually commandeered cruise lines. If you remember this part of the story, they commandeered the Disney cruise lines. Was it Disney? Might have been Warner Brothers. They had like cartoon characters on the sides of the boats, and the cruise line demanded that there be big black cloths or tarps or something that would be hung from the side of the ship, hung over the sides of the ship in order to cover up their characters from being seen because of the negative associations of being essentially a house for thousands of police officers. So the police officers were staying on these cruise lines because they didn't have anywhere else to put them, and it's a coastal city, it's mm-hmm. a coastal area. And so it was just such a bizarre situation where you had all these thug cops, you know, using truncheons to stop people from boating. And then at the end of the day, they'd go back to like the Disney cruise ship. But the cruise line was so embarrassed about their role in this, they had to cover up the characters on the ship. It was crazy. It's just a crazy situation.
That is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's a weird story.
Yeah, but it was funny at the same time because there's plenty of pictures of these cruise ships with these big black tarps being hung down from the sides. Anyway, Bascara, which is a town of 1,000 people, has now announced they are liberated from Spanish control. Activists have set up checkpoints at the entrances to the town. They're manned by locals who waved the Estelada secessionist flag and handed out homemade Catalan passports to those entering the town. They also gave out an invented new currency called the CAT to locals. One painted slogan on a wall at the entrance to the town said, quote, "You are entering liberated territory," unquote.
Wow. See, I thought the CAT had always been a form of currency. Isn't that the oldest profession?
In a statement, a group called Civil Disobedience Catalonia said Bascara was now, quote, automatically under the control of the Catalan Republic and no longer subject to Spanish law, unquote. It also said that the occupying forces, in a reference to the police, would be expelled from the town and barred from entering.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, these guys are hardcore.
Yeah.
The statement harkened back to a failed Catalan bid for independence in 2017. So it's actually been 5 years since that happened. Adding that the intention was, quote, to exercise effective control of the territory through civil disobedience and deploy a new strategy against the occupier that will lead to the final attack on the state.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what they're getting at there, but it's definitely going to be a situation to keep eyes on. Yeah. And as somebody who supports nonviolent means, I'm really excited to hear that there sounds like some sort of a mass civil disobedience movement. It may only be 24 people, but that can be enough to bring a lot of things to a grinding halt.
Yeah, and I think if it was 24 people in a town of 1,000,
yeah,
that the rest of the 1,000 would be doing something about it. So
like
I think
stopping
it's,
them, you mean?
Yeah.
You think it's larger?
I think it's got to be larger than that. But, you know, things aren't always what they appear in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Orwell fought in the Spanish Revolution. George Orwell wrote 1984. And one of the things that he writes about is afterwards, after the supposed anarchists had taken over, that there was a sign in the barber shop saying that tipping the barber was punishable by death. So, you know, it doesn't sound like anarchy to me.
They were serious about that.
I believe they were, wow. And he was horrified by that.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that was one of the inspirations for, I think, Animal Farm, where all the animals were equal, but some were more equal than others.
So apparently this big takeover happened on Saturday, and then as of Monday, the mayor said the town was back to normal. He told the Irish Times that it was a symbolic act. He says, "I understand that it's the first of a number of such acts that will take place in different towns." He added that it marked, quote, "an attempt to start over," unquote, for the independence movement. Anti-independence activists dismantled the checkpoints and defaced some secessionist slogans painted on the walls within hours of Saturday's declaration, undermining how divisive the Catalan sovereignty issue remains. A unionist news site called El Catalan described the weekend's events as the latest farce by an independence movement which, quote, "has never had a sense of its own ridiculousness," unquote. And, you know, I am glad to see that this does kind of, it rings a bell as far as we've been getting a lot of opposition here in New Hampshire to independence. There was a lot of outcry over what was a bill that simply would have allowed people to vote that ultimately died in not the committee, but the full state house a couple of months ago. But the fact that they're acknowledging that you exist as a secessionist group is a step in the right direction. So I'm glad to see that happening in Catalonia.
Absolutely. Usually they just they say, "Oh yeah, everybody's delighted to live under this government, you know, nobody has a problem with it." Well, nobody has a problem with it.
As in you.
Nobody. As in me.
I'm Mr. Nobody.
I'm nobody and nobody has a problem.
And nobody is not alone in this, case. There's a large movement that has sprung up here in New Hampshire, and I expect it's going to get larger over time. We just heard recently there's now a political action committee that has been formed to promote the ideas of independence amongst the political scene, specifically talking to potential legislators, people who are going to be running for office, and asking them, you know, how do you feel about independence for New Hampshire? So this conversation is definitely going to continue. Mm-hmm. And if there's a group in Catalonia that's going to continue doing events like this, then that is definitely going to keep the conversation going there. In recent weeks, relations between the Spanish government and of socialist Pedro Sanchez and the Catalan administration have deteriorated due to allegations that more than 60 pro-independence figures had their phones hacked and spied on. Catalan President Pere Aragonès has demanded an in-depth investigation and resignations of those responsible.
If your phone hasn't been hacked and spied on, you need to up your game.
Right, you're not doing it right if they're not spying on you. In fact, there was news recently that, I don't know if you heard about the Project Veritas, the latest news
The
what's going on with them?
One of the FBI guys actually came clean.
Yeah, so there's an agent that is currently still employed by the FBI who has come out and spoken out about what's been going on inside the FBI. He did it with a condition of anonymity, so they have him like in a blackened room and you can't see. He's got the vocal changer thing on his voice. But it's an interesting interview. Maybe we'll play some of it for you here in a little bit. Plus, Chris, you've been researching the history of the naming of New Hampshire, and you learned a couple things about that, so you'll share that with us coming up as well. You can join us and bring up whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com. It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio here tonight, you've got
nobody.
And Chris.
And again, phones are open here. You don't have to talk about independence, although that is the topic on the table at the moment. There's some folks in a town in Catalonia, Spain, that have declared independence over the weekend. Allegedly, it was just a stunt, it sounds like. They weren't going to occupy in any serious manner for a period of time, but They did set up checkpoints on Saturday and handed out homemade Catalan passports to those that were entering the town. They also waved the secessionist flag that is apparently called the Estelada there in Spain. And then apparently they left because the town had allegedly cleaned everything up by Monday. But supposedly they're going to continue doing similar stunts or other stunts in other towns in Catalonia to once again stir up support and stir up discussion about the hopefully inevitable exit of the Catalonian people from Spain. And I support it, even though some would point out, wait a minute, these are just socialists. And it's, well, if they want to secede and have a more socialist country where they don't send money to, where their tax money only goes to whatever the capital of Catalonia is instead of going to Madrid, then I still support it. Then they're at least getting a government that is more akin to what it is that they're looking for.
It would be nice to have more choices, not fewer.
Right.
And right now we don't have, we have some choices, but it's, yeah, it's not as many as would be desirable.
Yeah, I mean, we have about as many choices as a hamster in a habit trail, you know.
Yeah.
There's different pipes we can run through, but all the pipes go to the same place.
Yeah.
The sewer.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story, and hopefully we will hear more about this organization that they announced called Civil Disobedience Catalonia. Very interested to hear what other things they cook up, because I presume they've got some other ideas for what they're going to do, and hopefully it'll be inspirational. Maybe we'll be able to crib a few concepts here, because we've had a few civil disobedience successes over the years here in New Hampshire. Nobody, you organized one of the most successful, arguably maybe the most successful civil disobedience, which was the 420s that happened here, the rallies that happened for some number of months in a row here in
They went on for a couple of years, although winters were they didn't usually show up in the winter.
Yeah.
but that was more due to weather than police.
Yeah, that's for sure. So that's the story there. Chris, you did a little digging because we couldn't agree on what it was that New Hampshire was originally called back when it was a country, back when it was its own nation after declaring independence from the king in Great Britain before joining the United States. And you found a little history?
Yeah, so it appears to have gone by a number of different names, but some of those names, it encompassed like different areas. Like it may have encompassed like part of Vermont and like part of
Maine. Yeah,
because
it wasn't always New
points.
Hampshire.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a challenge to, you know, say what it was. But prior to this New Hampshire, it was the province of New Hampshire. So, yeah. So
was that when it was under the king, though?
I think so, but it's a little confusing because there was a point where it was an independent like country. So on January 5th, 1776, the Congress of New Hampshire voted in Exeter to establish a civil government and specify the manner and form that government would have. This government had a military. So now the United States didn't form. It had multiple versions, but it didn't form until I think it was 1783, as I understand it. So it was, as I'm interpreting this anyway, if I understand this correctly, it was an independent government for a number of years.
Well, the United States, as we know it now under the Constitution, came into effect in 1789.
Right. So 1783 to 1789, there was another United States, effectively, that they decided to throw that government out.
Basically, the Articles of Confederation established a government. And interestingly, what became the people who became the drafters of the Constitution were actually sent to amend the Articles of Confederation. They were never authorized to come up with a brand new constitution of their own creation, but yet they did.
Yeah, it's interesting. They apparently, this in 1776, they ran out. I think it was some sort of British appointed governor of the state. And I guess that's how it started. Unfortunately, I don't know New Hampshire history. I just don't know New Hampshire history that terribly well.
Yeah, I think what you're looking at here is it was called the Province of New Hampshire until that January 1776.
And I don't know what it was called
because
after
it was a province. It was just called New Hampshire. I pulled up the original constitution, and it is the Constitution of New Hampshire, written and signed January 5th, 1776. So it was just New Hampshire. It was not the Republic of. It was not the, you know, whatever of the nation of. It was just New Hampshire.
Right. So this is kind of interesting here. Together, the Assembly and Council, this is when they were independent nation, were responsible for running the government of the colony, including the appointment of all civil and military officers. So.
Yep. And then that lasted for roughly another 10 years until they joined the United States, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
So if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. The number 603-283-6160. We were talking about the FBI, and apparently one of their agents has come out publicly to Project Veritas. Well, behind the scenes, but
semi-publicly.
Yeah. He's supposedly a currently employed agent, and obviously he's afraid of retaliation, so they are not showing what he looks like. They're not allowing you to hear what his voice actually sounds like. But he's revealed that the federal government has been investigating Project Veritas and considers them to be news media, which is interesting because they point out in their story that it's in direct contradiction to the government's own court filing, where they argue that the Project Veritas journalists were not news media, saying in the court filing, quote, Project Veritas is not engaged in journalism within any traditional or accepted definition of that word because their reporting is supposedly non-consensual.
Wait, what? What does that even mean?
Do you have to consent to be reported on in the news?
No, because it's ridiculous.
Nobody's ever called me and asked me for permission to report about what I've done.
Yeah. Right.
Or what I haven't done.
Yeah, it's absurd what they're saying. Now, I think what they're referring to is that Project Veritas tends to do undercover camera operations, right? They put a camera that's hidden on one of their reporters, and then they go in and they interview somebody, maybe someone who worked for Pfizer. We've seen some of those recently, or whatever, you know, government agent. Mm-hmm. And they get them on the record saying something damning, and then report about it. And that's classic. Yeah.
Even if that violated state law, it doesn't violate federal law.
No, you're right. As far as recording someone without their permission.
Yeah.
That's
and even if they were trying to argue that.
And even if it violated state law, there'd be a question of as to whether or not the First Amendment trumped it.
Certainly it would be something that would have to be appealed probably, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that stuff they do in New Hampshire, because New Hampshire is one of the worst states far as wiretapping laws are concerned. There's about three states that are really bad, and New Hampshire is one of them where every party has to know that they're being recorded.
Unless it's a police officer.
They are allowed to record you without telling
you. No, you are allowed to record a police officer secretly now in the state.
They haven't changed the law on
but what you're referring to is a court ruling.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice if they would go ahead and just change the actual wiretapping statutes, because they could, in theory, still arrest you, and then you have to go into court and show the previous court rulings, and you may have to go and appeal and so on. Mm-hmm. But we can share some more of this Project Veritas information, because it is a pretty interesting discussion that they had with this undercover agent. We'll get into I'll get into that a little deeper here coming up at 603-283-6160, because this could have an effect maybe on the Crypto 6 case, because it may not be just Project Veritas that is being targeted as news media of interest to the FBI.
Oh, we know that.
Yes, definitely not.
Yeah. Whether we can prove it is another question. There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160. You can join us on Free Talk Live. Is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. Project Veritas has been given some documents that they wouldn't normally have access to. Some internal FBI documents were leaked to them by an agent that they subsequently have interviewed, and we're going to play some of that interview for you here in just a moment. But to take you back to what happened to them in, I think it was November of last year, some of their agents or their journalists had the FBI pounding on their doors and conducted a search warrant of their premises. I don't believe anyone was arrested in that circumstance. But they did, you know, go through their stuff and steal computers and various different electronic storage drives and things like that.
The sort of thing they do if you exercise your rights under the First Amendment.
Right. Well, especially if you're critical of the government. If you're exercising your, you know, rights, but you're not actually doing anything of any import, then they'll leave you alone. But if you're critical, then they'll target you.
Was it H.L. Mencken who said that all real journalism is saying something that somebody doesn't want said? Everything else is public relations.
I've not heard that one, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I somebody should look up the source of that quote.
Well, sure. And now that we've got the new Department of Homeland Security Ministry of Truth that they've put together, what they call it, the Disinformation Governance Board, I believe, we're getting even closer.
Oh, right.
You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. They actually came up with a concrete proposal recently that blue checks on Twitter should be able to add context to your tweet. Basically, anybody who's elite should be able to, you know, ding the tweets of any of the serfs and basically say, yeah, this is a lie.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting, too, in regards to all of this, is that the federal government has been paying reporters to work for them and sending them to
work
for
papers, right?
To work for, you know, other newspapers, basically.
Newspapers that are desperate and are failing and can't afford to pay people anymore, so they get a free reporter, even though they're basically just toting the government line and a total propagandist.
Which is what most newspapers do anyway. I'm talking to you, New York Times.
All of them, basically, to some extent or another. So let's play some of this audio here from Project Veritas. It's coming from their website, projectveritas.com, and here it is.
So you've been a special agent for a number of years.
Correct.
Special agent with the FBI.
That's correct. I've worked in counterintelligence, counterterrorism. I've worked criminal.
What brought you to Project Veritas? Why are you here?
There's a number of very troubling things that are happening within the FBI. And I would say that the direction that the agency has headed troubles the vast majority of the agents. Project Veritas appears to be a victim of political undertakings, which is where this agency has gone.
You came across...
Now, when he says it's where the agency has gone, he doesn't get specific as far as how long of a time frame it has gone there. Although later in this interview, and it's actually a pretty lengthy interview, later in the interview, he does admit that the FBI has been doing things that are completely out of its jurisdiction and illegal for decades. And he brings up Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, where the agency has gone, he doesn't get real specific what he means by that. But he definitely suggests that he's a little frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, J. Edgar Hoover was famous for using that agency as his own personal... political hit tool.
Right, and he actually gets into it a little bit later in the interview that there's two types of investigations that the FBI does. There's the type that most people are familiar with, which is investigating an ostensible crime, right? Somebody got murdered or whatever, something's happening, and they look into that, and they try to find the criminal, and they try to arrest him and build a case against them. And then he gets into it that there's another type of investigation, which is just simply for information. And that's what we'll get to here.
Awesome information. Can you tell me a little more about that?
The file that you're talking about is background on the Project Veritas investigation that resulted in the search warrant at your premises. There's a number of things on there that are alerting, and they don't necessarily make sense for the type of organization or agency that you are.
First of all, what can you say about how you came across or acquired this?
This was given to me by a colleague who was interested and also sympathetic to the fact that it appears that there's a political vendetta against your organization.
And what leads you or him or her to believe that there's a political vendetta?
We don't see a lot of investigations into news organizations. It's not common. The ones that are almost specifically tied to threat countries that we would be investigating for intelligence purposes. To see a criminal investigation, particularly one categorized the way that this is alerting, and it's surprising based on the public information that is provided.
What is
now? It's surprising to him, maybe, because later on he says that he's never seen this before. The interviewer James, I forget his last name, but the guy who heads up
O'Keefe.
Yeah, that's it. O'Keefe heads up Project Veritas. He asks him later in the interview, you know, have you seen this? Is this happening to other news agencies? And he says he hasn't seen it before. Now, we don't represent ourselves as a news agency per se here on Free Talk Live. We do opinion, right? This is a talk show. But it is a media outlet. It is certainly a First Amendment thing that we
definitely.
Do here. We do believe in free speech and we exercise it regularly. And part of our free speech is criticizing the state on a day-to-day basis, essentially. And that doesn't make them too happy.
No.
Yeah, they get upset just by reporting on stuff that's already reported elsewhere, just not, you know, hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of course, Julian Assange is, you know, the classic example of somebody who, you know, did exactly what reporters are supposed to do. He exposed what somebody didn't want known, which was American war crimes.
Right.
And for that, he has been languishing for a decade in first embassies and now a prison.
Correct. One of the harshest prisons in the UK, as I understand it, HMS Belmarsh, if I recall correctly, where he is awaiting the potential for being extradited to the United States, where they will attempt to put him away for over 170, I believe, years behind bars for doing, as you point out, some of the best journalism in recent memory. Like, since the Pentagon Papers, you know, Julian Assange is probably one of the most important journalists since that time.
Absolutely.
So if you want to weigh in here, the number 603-283-6160. They get into what I'm going to skip past in some of this. Sorry about that. I'm going to skip past some of this here because he just kind of gets into the paperwork and gets into the nitty gritty of like, well, what's this code mean and what's that code mean? Because he's got like the internal FBI investigative document that, you know, it's government. So they've got a bunch of four-letter acronyms on there, and it's interesting, but it's not quite level of let's play this on the radio. So I'm going to jump this interview ahead a little bit here to where he's asking him sort of to, you know, what's all this about, basically. And so here's a little bit more.
And we can open cases that never get picked up for prosecution. It happens all the time. They can bring us cases. We can bring them cases. So neither of us work for the other, but we do work as partners.
What do you hope comes from your endeavor to be here and say all this?
I would hope that we could end up with a nonpartisan law enforcement agency in this country that's not doing things that seem to be inappropriate for the power that it wields. It's an awesome responsibility. I mean, it's truly an incredible amount of power if used wrong. The country cannot sustain their largest law enforcement agency. We cannot have partisan investigations and using a piece of the executive branch as a weapon.
But unfortunately, the only way that's ever going to stop is if they shut this agency down entirely.
Yeah,
I would have to agree. It's, I mean, once you have a privileged group of people, a group of people who are not answerable to anybody.
The D.C. politicians, you mean?
The D.C. politicians and law enforcement in general is not held to the same standard of behavior as everybody else.
Sure.
I mean, if I had choked what was his name, James Garner, to death in the streets of New York City because I didn't like him selling cigarettes.
Eric Garner. James was the actor.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Who I also liked a lot. But yeah, I mean, if I had killed that guy, I would be charged with murder.
Sure.
And law enforcement does it, and it's just another day at work.
Just a slap on the hand.
Yeah.
The number here is 603-283-6160. We'll hear more about what this FBI agent has to say about the ongoing investigation into Project Veritas. We already knew they were being investigated because they got raided late last year. Multiple homes of journalists.
That's usually a sign.
Yeah. I don't believe there have been any arrests at this point. So they're just collecting information and going over it. More coming up. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining me in the studio is Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. Coming up, Chris is going to tell us about the potential for a pretty big change to U.S. copyright law that may affect Walt Disney and many others, but specifically Walt Disney. We can get into that coming up here in a little bit. But first, we're in the middle of a video. I'm playing some of the audio. I'm not going to play the whole 15 minutes, but I'm going to play some chunks from this Project Veritas interview of a secret FBI agent who has come out anonymously and revealed some documents suggesting that the FBI is targeting Project Veritas and maybe other news agencies, other free speech oriented groups, although he doesn't specify that. He does definitely reveal some interesting things, and we'll share a little bit more of that with you. First, though, we have our very own Mark Edge on the line here via Jitsi tonight. Mark.
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. You're calling us from Texas tonight.
Yes, I am in Austin, Texas. I just got to see Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast give his speech on, I don't know, how you should live your life or something like that.
Sounds like you really paid attention.
Well, I can tell you the different kinds of things he talked about. Yes.
Gotcha.
And you know, you're at how to describe this.
You're at John Bush's new conference, right?
Yeah, Exit and Build. This is his second conference on this. And the suggestion is that if you buy some land and grow some maters and have a rabbit hutch, that suddenly the state will begin to shake in its boots and you will enjoy freedom in a way that you never have before.
Sounds like you're a little skeptical about that.
I'm skeptical of a lot of people's ideas surrounding freedom. And I suspect that's what we're going to get into here.
As you should be.
Yeah. I do think you can find more personal freedom by doing just what they say, if that's important to you.
Yeah, as long as you pay off the government every year with the property taxes.
Well, I think you should, what you really need to do is understand that some kind of vig has always been paid to some kind of gang by the lessers to the more powerfuls.
Well, he's just trying to get people to move out of the cities, right? That's basically what he's encouraging with Exit and Build.
I think that that's generally his idea. Yeah.
And I miss John Bush. I wish he would have moved to New Hampshire as he pledged to do.
Well, I don't think that moving to New Hampshire is particularly going to build freedom either. But
we got a lot better chance than people just going out and planting their own crops and living on their own. And
guess what? You can do that in New Hampshire, too.
Yeah, you can. Although the growing season's a little shorter.
I would make that
greenhouses here.
You can move if you want to. If you think that having a patch of squash and a chicken coop is going to make you free, they got those in New Hampshire and you can have that. In fact, I did it. I did it for 6 years. I had up to 51 pigs at one point. We had a very large garden. And at one day, I had an entire meal made of the food that was produced.
Just
on my
once?
Yeah, rarely did we manage to, put it. You always needed something else.
Wow.
But Yeah, one. I just wanted to say I did it once.
Okay.
And we had a pretty simple meal, and that's that. But I don't think that the Back to the Land movement really makes governments quake. I think it gives you some empowerment. No. But I also don't think moving to one particular place, opting into their government system, complaining about it, talking about the illegitimacy of it, and you know, getting involved in their system to, in order to, you know, get, make legislation that's going to affect your neighbors in ways that they don't want, is a particularly good system either. And that's kind of what the Free State Project is.
Hmm. So instead, but we should all move to Honduras and count on them to leave our little Zetas alone.
I think I would certainly keep a close eye on what's going on in Honduras. And this is what I called in for, is there is a pretty scalding story that came out a couple of days ago. And I think it was worth the read. And I don't think that if you read it, that it's completely inaccurate. But at the same time, you know, if you read the way it says, it looks like doom and gloom, right? The story basically is what's happened with Zetes up to this point. The legislature has voted to get rid of Zetes one time. They didn't need to do it twice.
Right. They have to do it a second time in 2023. We already covered this a few weeks ago now. This is kind of old news, isn't it? Has there been a new development on this?
Well, the story itself is a development. And, you know, Chris asked me to call in so he could beat me up after reading the story.
Like, so do I get to ask you the questions now?
Nail me.
So have you got your, your.
Hold on. I want you to get to the question, but I feel like we need to set the table a little bit better here. A ZA, as I understand it, is a special economic zone. It's the Spanish word for a special economic zone. And
more than that, but yeah.
And a special economic zone is a carve out of a geographic area of a given state. It doesn't have to be Honduras. There are other ones elsewhere in the world, but you've chosen Honduras, Mark, as the most interesting of them. That carve out is an agreement with the government of that area to allow economic things to happen that are outside of the norm, as far as they wouldn't be regulated, they wouldn't have the same, there wouldn't be any taxes, that kind of thing. So there's a lot more freedom ostensibly in these zones to do business and live a little bit more free ostensibly. And there have been a couple that have started up in Honduras already. One of them's called it's in Roatan. It's an island. That one is called Prospera, and another one is within the mainland called Morazan City. And that kind of brings us up to speed.
It doesn't.
No, okay.
your characterization is mild, to say the least. These special economic zones, which they are, in the same way that a semi-truck is a motor vehicle and so is a motorcycle, right? Like, they've got special economic zones in New Hampshire called opportunity zones, where you can put your money in and save on your capital gains taxes. But that's not the same thing as a place where you get your own civil law, your own cops. You can exclude law enforcement from Honduras, and you can have your own judicial system. I mean, that's a significantly, the simple fact that it is true that it is a special economic zone, but this is the highest level of freedom that is currently legally allowed on the planet. And it's freer. I will state this and back it up. Currently, Morazan, where you can live right now for $200 a month, is freer than New Hampshire will ever be in the lifetime of any of us talking right now.
All right. Do I get to ask my question?
Go ahead.
Can I ask my question? All right.
Yep.
So you've got the security. You've got these Zetas, right? Have you hired the security? Do you have your fighter jets? Do you have your tanks? Do you have your private army? Are you ready to take back Honduras for the Zetas?
Are you saying that that Honduras is arraying a military against Zetes currently? Because that's kind of what I'm hoping they will do.
So as I understand it, they're voting to get rid of Zetes.
Have voted.
Correct? Yes, they have voted.
Unanimously.
And they've terminated that relationship with you, that contract.
No. This was the first step in a long series of things that need to be done in order to do a termination. Think of it as a combination lock, where the first combination has been entered and six more things need to be done. And if they do those things, and then they actually do get rid of Zetes, then they're liable in a court. Now, that doesn't mean that the court will necessarily rule against them, but they will be liable for more than $1 billion in damages. And the people who put their money in, and I represent some of those people, some of those organizations that put the money in, will likely receive 10 times their money back if the court rules against.
I want to ask the question again. Do you have your fighter jets? Do you have your tanks? Do you have your private army? And are you ready to enforce that contract?
I don't think a private army would fight for a private organization the way that people will fight and die for flags. Humans, for whatever reason, have shown a propensity to die for countries when those countries show no interest in those humans.
All right, stand by, Mark, because you bring up some interesting things. We'll continue with the discussion, and you can join us. If you had a question for Mark, Edge, 603-283-6160, you can join us on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
Bring up whatever is on your mind. We'll get back into the FBI agent who has come out and speaking out about what's going on with Project Veritas being targeted by the FBI, having their journalists' homes raided. Their founder's home was raided as well. As we continue here, though, we've got Mark Edge with us calling from Texas. He's at the Build and Exit conference. Mark, you still with us?
Yeah.
All right. So you were talking about this ZA, the special economic zone thing that's going on there in Honduras. And Chris and you, I guess, had been having some online conversations. So you wanted to bring that conversation to the air. Chris brought up this question about, you know, how are you going to defend yourself? Do you have fighter jets, et cetera, to take on the government of Honduras?
Yeah.
And
I mean, this is entirely predictable, which is why, you know, I'm asking these questions, because, you know, these were discussions that we had previously. And effectively is when, you know, you have to understand.
Fighter jets is a little hyperbolic, but
it is. But the point is that.
Does the government of Honduras have fighter jets?
Look, the point that I'm trying to make here is that this is predictable, right? These we're talking about countries with corrupt dictatorships. And when one dictator gets overthrown, there's another government that comes into power, and they like to undo the things that the prior government, you know, agreements they made. So the question is, how do you solve that problem? And it was a legitimate question, and I never really got much of an answer other than, well, we have our own private security and, you know, this international court thing. But the international court, does it have any real effective power? Because from what I've seen in other cases, having nothing to do with this sort of situation, it doesn't seem to actually have much ability to enforce any of its, these sorts of things.
Well, what circumstance did you see where the international court couldn't?
Which court, by the way? There's more than one of them.
U.S. war crimes.
All I know is it's at The Hague. So,
yeah, I don't know specifically, but I'm it's probably the same court. Basically, there, like, for example, and I'll give you guys an example. So the one case I'm thinking of, there's an island country somewhere with not that many people, and I think the United States did something to them, and they got a ruling from this court that said the United States was in the wrong, and the penalty was effectively that this country could violate copyrights of U.S. entities. Okay. And the problem is that if they actually did that, what would the United States do? The United States could retaliate. And so the point of it is effectively that these courts don't necessarily have any real ability to get you what you want.
Okay, so I did a little bit of research on this, because you've long made the claim that this international court would be the place to go if the Honduran government breaks its agreement and comes in and, you know, takes your property from you or whatever. And so there's the International Court of Justice, which is located in The Hague. and they are an organization that that handles disputes between states. So given that the ZA is not a state, I don't think you would have any jurisdiction. There would be no jurisdiction. There's also the International Criminal Court as well.
This is the International Court of Justice.
Okay.
So ZAs are specifically included in a treaty with Kuwait. And so therefore, they are international law between states. And the ZAs now are a party to an international agreement, which means that they can bring it to that court and then, find out what they say. Now, obviously, I don't have any control over what the courts do, but, you know, Chris, I know, managed to bring the one of the governments of New Hampshire to court, whoop them, and get some money out of them. And I want to know why that court, like, we didn't just say, well, why bother even going to court if you're going to, you know, they can do whatever they want. Well, because we know sometimes you can get some justice out of a court.
No,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I'm going to disagree with you on this. The reason that we sued had to do with the principle, the moral, and the publicity of it. It had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, any kind of compensation. I would have settled for a dollar for a headline that presented the point that we're doing something in New Hampshire to other people to get their attention who aren't yet.
This was, by the way, when the police wrongfully arrested you for recording video of them at a DUI checkpoint in Manchester. But Mark, what your explanation was is a little cloudy to me as far as why and a ZA, which is something that was created by the Honduran government as a special economic zone, with special benefits or whatever, would qualify as a state under the International Court of Justice.
It's not a state, it's a party.
Okay, but the only parties allowed to bring a case are states, at least according to this article here at Wikipedia. And I suppose that could be wrong, but is this an attorney who has explained this to you? Where did you hear this?
This was the people who set up the ZAs, sent a representative and explained how it was that these international protections existed. Mm. I'm not some kind of, you know, a lawyer that would end up at one of these places, but all I can do is believe the lawyers that tell me that, and by the way, Prospera at prospera.hn, if you want to go, has an exhaustive amount of attorneys, and they've done the legal legwork on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the things that's great. I tend to think that it is worth listening to them and believing what they say. Not that they're going to win, but they've got a case. And I don't know whether they're going to win, and I wouldn't claim to know. But I will say that if Honduras, that Honduras doesn't have the greatest case in the world, and if they lose, they better pay. Because if they don't pay, it's not going to be the same situation as United States against Antigua. It's Antigua against the United States, and that's a different situation. So Honduras won't be able to participate in international trade with member nations if they don't if they don't abide by the agreement, the court of law. And that means that they could.
You mean like how Russia can't trade with anyone in the world right now, and they've got the most successful currency on the planet?
I'm not saying there's no value from this, Mark, but I'm a little skeptical. Call me a little skeptical.
I hear you. And I think that right now, if I had a lot on the line as to where I'm going to live and those sorts of things, I'll be in Honduras next week. If I had a lot on the line, you know, and I was running a business where I've got to do shipping and things like that, I'd keep an eye on what's going on in Honduras, but I wouldn't move my operation there. Now, in my case, probably not going to drop bombs with their single fighter jet onto one of these ZAs when they don't have to.
Yeah, so no, they would want to take it back by force, I imagine.
That would be a really bad idea.
Well, why? It's what they always do.
No,
they'd send men in there and they'd arrest everybody and clear out the area and take it back by force. Why wouldn't they?
They better go through the legal steps that are involved first. Otherwise,
that is
really
a legal step. They call the police department, send them in, and they arrest everyone.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they just do that in New Hampshire? Why didn't they just come into Free Talk Live and say, hey, we don't like your speech. I know the First Amendment says things and stuff,
they've
but
done
screw
that.
The First Amendment, we'll put you in jail.
They did that.
They came up with a sensible shot.
Sure, sure. More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
I'll let you go.
Insight Daily Radio. Conversations with today's most interesting artists and creators. Author, humorist, and radio personality Garrison Keillor has been a fixture in popular culture since the 1970s, with more than 30 best-selling books and his Prairie Home Companion radio program. And he has a new book entitled Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel. We caught up with Garrison to chat about his new book and the creative journey that continues to bring Lake Wobegon to life.
The process of writing a book changed over time. You start out being ambitious to write a book, but after you've written a number of them, the ambition dissipates and you wait for a moment of certitude, something that you can count on. You don't want to waste time going down a dead-end road. So you want to find something that you can put your weight on before you commit to it. And that's the best way. That's the best way.
That's author and humorist Garrison Keillor, whose new book, Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel, has just been released and is now available wherever books are sold.
Free Talk Live phones are open. You can join us here. Maybe you got a question about the special economic zone situation there in Honduras or elsewhere in the world. Mark Edge, co-host here on Free Talk Live, has been very interested in this whole thing and has been quite, spending a lot of time and effort and money going around the world to investigate the different options for special economic zones. He seems to have settled on Honduras, specifically some of the islands off of Honduras, as a potential destination for doing one of these things. But of course,
he got voted off the island.
Well, whether that's the case or not, they haven't made the final moves to terminate the special economic zone thing. They did initially vote last month, I think it was, to end the special economic zone program in Honduras after it had only been around for half a decade or something like that. Mark, how long has this program been in place?
Was it even that?
I'd say that it, in its entirety, had been around for maybe 2 years and really hadn't had a chance to even, you know, spread its wings. It was in its infancy.
Now, Chris, you were telling me something during the break you wanted to ask Mark on the air about somebody being arrested in Honduras.
So, Mark, let me give it to you as I understand it. So, and then you can respond to this. So, as I understand it, the opposition is saying that effectively these laws were never legitimate in the first place, and they were.
And by opposition, it was unanimously voted to destroy the economic zones by the government of Honduras. So go ahead.
Yeah. So it was under corruption by a former. They probably would use the word dictator, although I didn't read that specific word. And that dictator has since been extradited. The one who basically created these laws, or it came about under his regime, so to speak.
Yep.
And effectively, he was extradited to the U.S. for some sort of drug trafficking.
Oof.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on that?
Right. So we'll call them the red team and the blue team. They're, if you were to try to make analogs to the red team and the blue team in the United States, the red team is more like the blue team and the blue team's more like the red team, but whatever. They're corrupt, both of them. What a surprise. They are in the United States too. So the leader of the red team is currently the wife of the guy that tried to have a coup like 12 years ago. the head of the blue team was formerly apparently a guy whose brother's with a drug runner and was helping his brother run some drugs. So the corrupt team has said that the corrupt team is corrupt and that therefore that the laws that the corrupt team passed are invalid. Now, that's an interesting point, and I hadn't considered it up until the point that I read it in the article. And that's one of the reasons I passed it on to people like you, so that you could beat me up a little bit, because I believe that men, I should say people, work best when it's steel on steel, you know, conflict, and that the best ideas come out.
When you say you hadn't considered something, what specifically did you not consider? I want to be clear on
that. The Honduran government, what their argument would be. And what their argument is the law isn't the law because it was put in place by a corrupt guy.
So therefore, right? That would mean, let me see if I'm following this. That would mean that they're not just talking about terminating the ZA program, which would mean that there would be no more ZAs created, and then the existing two would be grandfathered in because they would be honoring the agreements that they made. They would then be saying, no, no, we want to undo this completely and eliminate the existing ZAs. That's what they're saying?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, indeed.
That doesn't sound very good.
It's not good, but I will say this. So, first off, that wasn't done under that particular president's regime. So ZAs weren't put in place within the last 4 years. They had been in, the law would had been refined before that. Okay. So,
yeah, doesn't it go back to 2013 or something?
But remember, lawsuits, yeah, lawsuits are parties. And I want you to think about this party. Imagine I'm the party that brings in $100 million of investment into a ZA because it's a ZA in Honduras, that was lured in to Honduras. They're acting now. They're saying in the article, they said, pay your taxes and get your permits. Well, wait a second. I would have never been in Honduras in the first place to pay a tax or get a permit had it not been for the law that that went through your process. And therefore, I would never be a party to this in the first place. And I think the court's going to find that to be a very motivating argument. This is, look, hey,
the court that only takes cases from states.
Correct. But it takes, look, Ian, that's your understanding of the law. And if you want me to find a lawyer for you,
that's all.
Are you asking me to find you a lawyer so that you can begin to ask these questions? Because you've never asked me to do that. I get that you're making the point. The point that's been made to me is that ZAs are a legal entity in on the level of governments, and that they would have a standing at the court in The Hague. And I can bring this back, but I think that it's unfair for you to, I won't say something that's not true on the air. So you're going to kind of pummel me on this particular issue. Do you want me to do you want to give airtime to a lawyer that's going to answer those questions?
Not necessarily, but if you want to give me some information off the air, I'm happy to look at it.
Mark, you're talking to people here who would love to see what you're saying be true and be the case and everything else.
I don't know that that's true. I think that you're New Hampshire zealots that don't want to hear anything that sounds like the only place to have freedom is in New Hampshire. I really believe that that's what New Hampshire does to people because it did it to me.
Yeah, I think you're mistaken. It's that we're what's the word I'm looking for? We're very
myself. I'm a freedom zealot, not a New Hampshire zealot. I think New Hampshire is the best bet right now. I'm open to being convinced of something else. Nobody has come close to convincing me. Everybody who's tried elsewhere, things have come crashing down around their ears very quickly in from what I've seen. And
I haven't seen anything else even get off the ground. And I paid a close attention to this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess to me that's having things come crashing down your ears very, very quickly. Whether you're off the ground or not is some means of debate. But they've been taxiing on the runway when their planes have caught fire and crashed into a bush. So the I've never seen anything as effective as what I've seen in New Hampshire, where there are actually anarchists in the legislature, where, you know, there is a robust community that has been putting down roots for many years. And
well, May I address that? So having freedom advocates in the legislature in New Hampshire is certainly a victory. But what you're presuming here is that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, that it must be a duck. But, you know, a Cessna 176
doesn't walk like a duck.
has a takeoff speed of 78 miles an hour. Now, I can get in a pickup truck and go 78 miles an hour, but I'm not going to take off because I'm not an airplane. And getting a bunch of liberty lovers in a state organization and attempting to turn that into a freedom organization, you know, that may or may not work. It has yet to be seen. So mm-hmm. to torture analogies here, we were talking about, you know, airplanes. We don't even know if New Hampshire can get to the point of freedom, whereas Morazan or Prospera are already freer than New Hampshire, in my opinion, will ever be. Because I don't think New Hampshire will ever have private civil law, and nor will it ever have its your own arbitration overlay that solves problems in a way. You'll never be able to exclude cops from private property in New Hampshire, is what my argument would be.
Well, it certainly remains to be seen whether anybody will be able to do that in Honduras also. And
well, they are doing it right now.
I mean, you had told me
if the cops wanted to come in, they could, but they're excluded right now.
So the cops can come in. Got it. More coming up here because it sounds like there's some more to say. We'll continue with Mark in moments because I thought there were some laws that the police were allowed to enforce. At least that's my understanding. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you got a question for Mark Edge. He's still on the line with us here attempting to, I don't know what he's trying to do exactly, persuade people that the Honduras ZA situation isn't going to come crumbling down because some great international court may step in and make everything right again, or give everybody a bunch of money or something like that.
You know, I want to point one thing out, Mark. We're being pessimistic about government. It's not really specifically about Honduras or Zetas or any of that. You know,
I appreciate that. I do. I really do. And that's the point that I would like to make here is that, Ian, I'm not trying to say that I am certain or of what's going to happen in Honduras. I don't know. But here's what I know. I know that there's only one time that a tank has been used against me and my business, and that was in New Hampshire. There's only one time that militarized police have pointed weapons at my women folk in my organizations and told them to drop the only clothing they had, get naked. And that was in New Hampshire. There's only one time that the government weaponized remote control robots and sent them into my place of business, and that was in New Hampshire. None of that stuff has happened in Honduras. And I'm not saying Honduras wouldn't do it. I know they would. Right. What I'm saying is that you all think New Hampshire's so great, and it's just another state. It's just another organization.
Well, it's a state where thousands of like-minded people have migrated here. Something you said earlier, Mark.
And none of them could do anything about the two raids on Free Talk Live Studios.
How could they?
They couldn't do a thing.
How could they? They're 10% of the state legislature. Mark. But the something you brought up earlier was you called us zealots for New Hampshire, and I don't feel like that's fair at all. The Shire Free Church has contributed to your project specifically there in Honduras because the church does support what you're doing and thinks it's a good idea. I want to see it succeed. I really do. I've been skeptical from day one of it, but it's your dream, and I hope that you can make this magical thing a reality and not have a criminal enterprise known as the Nation of Honduras come in and ruin everything. And it looks like the beginning process of that ruining has already begun before you've even gotten off the ground.
I also want to point out that I've held back the criticisms up to this point. So, you know, and I know it doesn't sound like it because I have been a little bit critical, but, you know.
No, Chris, look, when it comes to criticisms, I can't pay for criticisms from a mind as great as yours. I can't find that. So I do value.
Well,
it
he's
when
also
you guys...
a target, a potential demographic for you, right? He's a successful businessman. He could migrate his business to somewhere else
potentially
if he wanted to.
He'll,
so
he'll move the gay population in New Hampshire up by full digits too.
It's actually a lot of gay people in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
I meant to say in the island of Utila.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely true.
I just looked up, since I was only relying on Wikipedia before, I went to the International Court of Justice's own website. It's icj-cij.org. And on their page about how the court works, it talks about how they can only take two types of cases. One of them is contentious. The other is advisory proceedings. The contentious cases would be legal disputes between states. Advisory proceedings are brought by United Nations organs and specialized agencies. So presumably the type of proceeding you'd be talking about would be contentious. And so therefore only states, they say, states, members of the United Nations and other states would have become parties to the statute of the court or which have accepted its jurisdiction under certain conditions may be parties to contentious cases. So I'm not really sure, you know, the whole legal mumbo jumbo of what you're trying to say earlier about Kuwait would be able to somehow go after Honduras for this.
I can tell you that ZEDAs are included in an international treaty with Kuwait. And that is supposedly, that was the in for this particular court.
So would Kuwait bring the case?
This is what I'm going to tell you to do. Uh-huh. If you have specific questions, write those questions in an email to me, because no lawyer is going to want to come on the air on Free Talk Live and hear you guys batter them with a bunch of questions about this. And they're going to want to look these things up and they're going to want to be able to answer in writing. So if you have specific questions, I will get those questions answered for you. But you put me in a difficult position because I am not this kind of attorney. I'm not an attorney.
No,
at all.
I understand.
None of us
I
are.
I didn't expect you to be. I just didn't know how much you.
Ex-convict that wants to see more freedom in the world.
Okay, guys. Other questions for Mark? Otherwise, we've got a call that has a question for him.
Take it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's go to Bad Slave. He's on the line in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live with Mark Edge.
For being willing to air this, I have to say that one of the big reasons I think you're going to fail in any other place than America is that America is the only place that has official documents and a founding principles that basically identify individual liberty as a surviving principle. Nobody else has that. And as long as that's something that I can access, which I think we can still, and I think there are many, many people that are waking up to this right about now, are in fact, going to make this change. The New Hampshire, it's only been a few years. We aren't anywhere near getting the 20,000. We may get more than that eventually. And I'm telling you, when we get the number of representatives and senators and, executive counselors, we're going to end up with significant power here, and you seem to be denying it. I've lived in New Hampshire for 30 years. I moved up here specifically because of the nature of New Hampshire.
You're a pre-stater, as they call them, somebody who moved for more freedom before the Free State Project concept even existed.
That's right.
And also has demonstrated his dedication to the ideas by going to jail for what he considers to be liberty. And, I certainly I'm not going to jump in and say you're wrong. In fact, I'm going to say that I share your form.
Bad Slave, I'm going to let Mark respond because you were saying quite a bit there. So go ahead, Mark.
terribly sorry. I respect Bad Slave and I respect his opinions. But what I would say is that I am the same kind of patriot. I do love America for its history, but part of America's history is the British Commonwealth. You know, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, these documents are usually mentioned in conjunction with the Magna Carta. The islands that I'm talking about, what they call the Bay Islands of Honduras, are their English common law. They have the basis of English common law, unlike the rest of the country of Honduras. And they have a treaty of autonomy with Honduras because they were given over by England. So there is some level of, you know, this kind of inborn liberty and more legal basis, frankly, for it with the treaty than, say, New Hampshire has. If New Hampshire wanted to leave the United States, it has no legal basis to do so.
Whereas, oh, yeah, it does. Absolutely, okay. It does. And there's been a lot of discussion.
There's definitely been disagreement over this. I mean, I think that's actually, and this is kind of funny, but I think you might have a point, Mark, here, even though I do disagree with you to some degree about there being no legal basis.
Okay, I should say this, that there is more legal basis for a secession of the Bay Islands
stronger
than there
argument.
Is for New Hampshire.
Go ahead, Bad Slave.
The thing is that what started out creating America and our individual liberties, you know, and our right to, life, liberty, and property, was in fact understood. I mean, it was not written down. For they debated, you know, forever about the Bill of Rights. And the fact is that they're putting the Bill of Rights, you know, puts it on the table. Oh, they want to cancel the Second Amendment. They can't do that.
Thank you, Bad Slave, for the call tonight. Definitely those are important documents. The New Hampshire Constitution, of course, is an excellent, all things considered. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. But I don't know a lot about this thing that Mark is talking about, this agreement with the islands. Mark, do you have enough to say? Can you say more about that? Do you want to hang on to do that?
If I can read it to you, sure.
Okay, I presume it's short then.
Okay. It's not terribly.
Okay, more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Stand by.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Kicking off the third hour here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio here with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Hello, buddy.
And Chris.
We've been talking with Mark Edge about the status of the special economic zone experiments going on in Honduras. He's been a big fan of this for the last several years and has gotten deeply involved on a personal basis. He's planning to expand one of the economic zones to a different island in Honduras called Utila. There's two different zones that are in effect right now. One is called Prospera. The other one is Morazan City. And we've got Mark on the line here because we were talking about some of the founding documents. Bad Slave had called in and brought up the Constitution and, you know, protecting people's rights. And, of course, we know that it hasn't really done a very good job of it. But at the very least, we still do have the ability to, for the most part, criticize the government these days here in the United States.
As long
States.
As you don't mind being raided once in a while.
Right. And, you know, Mark does point out they've been targeting people for that. In fact, we were just talking about Project Veritas being raided earlier, right before Mark called in. So we'll get back into that coming up here in a little bit. But, Mark, you brought up this some sort of special agreement that they have. I'm not using the right term. You have the term. But some sort of an arrangement that the islands have on Honduras that gives them some level of independence. And you were going to tell us more about that.
So all I can do is read the stuff from, contemporary press at the time. I can't. It's hard for me to even find out the name of this treaty. But it was a treaty in the 1860 between Great Britain and Honduras. It was pushed by the United States because the United States felt like there was too much the British, too much British power in the Caribbean, and they wanted to minimize that, you know, the whole, is it the Monroe Doctrine, whatever the claim is.
And so the British had all three of the Honduran islands, Roatan, Utila, right. and the other
Quite
one?
Quite a few more, actually. Okay. But these are the big ones.
Okay.
And more or less, they're like, all right, you guys in Honduras, you take care of these islands. Well, there were Caminians, you know, British subjects on these islands, and they're like, all right, we'll give you some land someplace else, or you can stay there, and we'll negotiate some, you know, provisions for you. Here are the provisions, that all the land that they have is theirs, and that they can buy land and purchase it with by legal methods, that they can the form of grants and transfer to be preserved as at present, substituting instead of the present style, the name or style of the existing authority. I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
yeah. And it goes on. I did put them in the Matrix group that you have, but okay. The right to choose representatives to regulate the local laws of the islands, that no tax or loan shall be levied on the islands or the harbors thereof without the consent of the inhabitants.
Really?
That no troops shall be quartered on the island without the consent of the inhabitants. Freedom from forced military service for ourselves and laborers in our employ. The use of the English language in courts and on public records of the island. Now, many of these things are not abided by currently today. And this means that it's kind of like the Constitution, except that, in fact, these are bodies that could say, hey, look, this treaty hasn't been abided by. We want to try something new and try to make their own countries or go back to Great Britain or whatever it is that they want to do. And this is something that many on the island would love to have. Hmm. They consider themselves British, and their accent is Scottish, from what I can tell.
Interesting. What would you say the percentage of people on these islands that are British and or English speaking?
Well, that's the problem is they imagine what it would be like in Arizona or Texas if there was no border to speak of, because anybody can come from the Honduran mainland and make significantly more money by being on one of the Bay Islands. Mm-hmm. And they often do. And of course, they have voting rights. But one could make the argument that it's the English-speaking inhabitants that get to vote on what the laws are specifically for the islands. This is the point of
But they
contention.
Don't, right?
What do you mean?
That the English-speaking, the Spanish non-natives speakers, do not have the right to vote on those islands, correct?
They do have the non-natives do have the right to vote on those
they
islands.
They do have the right to vote. Okay.
Right. So you can see the difficulty in this scenario for the natives. They're like, hey, we have certain rights and they're not respected. And, you know, it's an interesting point. So take it how you like.
Okay.
They want to be able to have religious worship.
So there wasn't
sort of
anything
thing.
In the document about freedom of religion, freedom of speech, none of this, the sort of the
typical free employment
Bill
of religious worship according to the dictates of our consciousness.
Oh, okay. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's really great. But think about this, is the mainland is mostly Catholic. The, you know, Utilans are Methodist. Mm. And so, or Seventh-day Adventist, there's, it depends on where you are on the Bay Islands, but, you know, they're Protestants. And so, yeah, there's some interesting points to be had, but I wouldn't consider this document the most important document. The most important document is the ZA laws that, you know, at this point the Honduran government has to overcome. Not to say they can't, not to say they won't, but they need to.
All right, Mark, I'm sure you'll be updating us as this situation develops. And guys, any other questions for him while we have him?
No.
Thanks, everybody, for taking my time.
I want to make it clear, I wish you the best down there or wherever you go. And I'm certainly not rooting for you to fail or for anybody looking for liberty anywhere to fail. I hate to see that.
And when I think it's the right time, that's when I send for you guys. I haven't asked any of my friends from New Hampshire I haven't asked them to do anything but keep an eye on this. And when I say, hey, guys, I think now's the time, I hope you understand that I've held off up to this point. that I'm like the savior. I'm going to make a place for you.
I hope you do, Mark. I hope you do. It's you know what it looks seems to me right now. It's,
does that mean we have to like drink your blood every year?
We've got a situation where we have multiple fantasies, and one might have a little bit more reality to it, at least at present. But that doesn't necessarily mean it had reality, you know, I don't know, a decade ago. So you may just be at a different point.
Thanks, Mark, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. That's Mark Edge. And oops, I just accidentally hung up on Sarah instead.
Oh, wow.
She'll call
I'm
back.
I'm crushed.
And there she is. So let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
I'm on. Okay. I'm just getting off the speakerphone. So our city is going to remodel this Windrock Mall here.
The city's going to remodel a mall?
Okay, which city?
Albuquerque. I'm talking about where I live.
Yeah, no, thank you for clarifying that. But just to be a little more clear, when you say the city's going to remodel the mall, are you saying taxpayers are going to be on the hook to remodel a private, purportedly privately owned shopping center?
Of course, Ian.
Well, I guess that's how they do. They supplement. I don't know who the hell, what the owner is going to be, but the current mall is, I guess, not so successful, even though it has a new movie theater. The most important, so I don't know how the money's going to be spent, but I'm excited about it because they're going to put this lake. That's the big center focus of this lake, and it's going to have the residential place. It's also going to have a school, going to have a bar, and it's going
to
have a...
Well, we know that malls have been failing miserably, and you alluded to that this mall is having a very difficult time. I would be really bummed out to discover that the taxpayers would be on the hook to bail out, you know, something, a mall is something too big to fail. I hope that's not what's happening. I'm hoping Sarah is misunderstanding the story and just saying...
She's probably not.
Just saying the city when she means the mall itself.
This is socialist America, Ian.
You think they're going to bail out a mall?
I won't be surprised if they do.
Well, they love bailing out corporations.
And they do it for, like, sports and sports teams and all sorts of other
things. That's true. The number here is 603-283-6160. We can continue. Your thoughts are welcome here. This is Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
So, way back like an hour ago, before Mark called in to talk about the Honduras situation, we were talking about Project Veritas. An FBI agent has come out and is speaking out anonymously so far about his disappointment with political prosecutions, he says, against a news agency, Project Veritas, in the FBI. We can talk a little bit more about that. But since Sarah brought up this story, she claims the city of Albuquerque is remodeling a mall into apartments and IMAX theater and things like that. I had to look it up because I figured she was getting it wrong, and she was. The story here isn't that the city of Albuquerque, meaning the criminal enterprise known as the city of Albuquerque, the people calling themselves that, is involved in this. They, of course, had to approve a permit, but no, this is a private enterprise that has purchased an old mall. They've already torn it down, so the mall is gone. And they're looking to build like a whole new area for people to go, an open air shopping district, which are sort of have taken over a lot of mall properties.
Mixed use,
you've
right?
seen IMAX movie theater, hotel, parks, condos, and offices. They're just going to do a whole bunch of stuff there. It sounds like a fine project, and if it's being done by a private company, then that's great, because then the taxpayer isn't going to be on the hook if it fails, because we've seen
unless they decide to bail it out.
Well, right. I mean, you tend to not see that happening with people that build shopping centers or whatever, usually you don't, they don't get a bailout when they fail. But it could happen. It is New Mexico, so it wouldn't surprise me if that happened. But in this case, Sarah is completely wrong. It's not the city of Albuquerque doing this work. They didn't come up with the idea. They just approved the permit, and that's the end of that. But one of the things we talked about recently, speaking of cities and governments and special economic zones, is Disney in Florida. That you may have heard the news. We certainly covered it here on Free Talk Live at the time, that the Florida legislature had voted to strip Disney World, the property that it's on, is owned by Disney and has been run as essentially a special economic zone. It's like a separate piece of property that's not technically the county. It's not the city of Orlando or Kissimmee or whatever. It's, I think it was called like the Lake Buena Vista Special District or something like that. It's, and now they're talking about stripping that district from Disney, getting rid of their tax exemption, getting rid of their ability to take care of the roads and have their own fire department and, you know, do the handle the sewer system and just turn all that over to Orange County. And I think Osceola was the other county, because the district goes across the two different counties. And so there's been this whole thing about punishing Disney recently. And whether or not you agree with Disney's political viewpoints, and of course the allegation is that Disney is promoting wokeism, and they probably are. I don't watch most of their products, but so, I mean, I'm willing to believe that that's going on. Of course, the libertarian point would be, well, you know, if you want to punish Disney, don't buy their products. Don't buy their movie tickets. Don't buy their DVDs or their Blu-rays. And don't pay for their Disney Plus subscription. Don't buy their toys. And don't go to their parks. And encourage your friends to do the same. That would be the way to punish Disney for having an opinion that you don't want them to have. But instead, they're using the political process to go after them. And Chris, you've got what might be another step in this procedure that could actually be a good thing.
It is
other people.
It's a side effect, but yeah, it seems like the conservatives have it out for Disney with all the wokeness.
When you think about it, though, the idea that there should be one corporation out of all the corporations of the world that is treated like a separate country in Florida, while everybody else is treated as serfs, that doesn't necessarily sit right with me. You know, what makes Disney so special that it is its own country?
I mean, I think the argument there is that we should all be able to do what Disney's doing, or has done, or
we should all be able to, but...
Right, I don't begrudge them for being able to pull that off, and I think it's sad to see libertarians cheering on the elimination of this, essentially a special economic zone, where these people are able to run their own city on a completely voluntary basis.
It demonstrates exactly what libertarians are arguing for, in that they own the land. They own 100% of the land. And it's because they have not sold any of that land off, as I understand it, or something to this effect, that they have complete control over it.
Well, plus, by ending their special status, it's going to turn over operation of that to the county. So essentially, by cheering on this act... what we're not talking about the copyright thing yet, but just the land thing in Florida. By cheering on what the conservatives are doing there, you're cheering on the expansion of the state. You're cheering on more state power, more state taxation, more state control over people's businesses and land. And again, it's not the right direction to go. The right direction to go would be to create a program to allow anybody to create, you know, a carve out and be like Disney, instead of cheering their destruction.
I would definitely support it if anybody could do it.
And keep in mind, the taxpayers apparently are going to be having to foot the nearly $2 billion in debt that the special economic zone has been carrying. So it's actually going to it's going to turn over Disney's debt to the taxpayers. It's going to screw the taxpayers,
which is kind of interesting.
That's a maybe,
because I understand,
there's some debate on whether that,
as I understand it,
happen.
Is at least as it is now, Disney is paying all of that, but isn't Disney a taxpayer to itself effectively?
Correct. They do not pay
is this
property
debt,
taxes
does
to
this
county.
Debt effectively is the way this is going to work, is it's going to end up being the county's debt
And
that's what they're saying.
Then it's going to, all because the counties have more people than just Disney at that point. So then they would be paying effectively taxes to the county.
They
but the county would also be taking on that debt. Interesting.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it would be, it would end up costing.
Although nobody's saying
money.
That's been called into question. So I've not seen those updates.
Interesting.
All right. So what's going on?
Well, it makes sense. So, So Disney, apparently there's a U.S. senator. So this is a story from Torn Freak I brought in here. U.S. senator targets Disney with bill limiting copyright protection term. And apparently it's not just Disney, but that's effectively who they're targeting with this.
Mm-hmm.
So Republican Senator Josh Haley just introduced a bill that proposes to shorten the copyright term to 56 years. And by the way, that is a huge improvement. I think it's more than
70 something right now.
It can be for corporations more than 110 years.
Really?
Yeah, 70 years past the death of the author, but corporations are immortal.
Right.
So when is the death of the author?
Great question.
Yes. This will apply retroactively to major movie studios, with Disney being a prime target, which is interesting. Retroactive.
Wait, just to clarify, this would bring it down to 56 years from the creation of the intellectual property or from the death of the author? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
All right. We'll continue here in moments. The number 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want, but this expansion happened because of Disney back
right,
in the day.
Correct.
It used to be shorter, then it got lengthier due to protecting Mickey Mouse, apparently.
Yes, that's correct.
603-283-6160. You can jump into the conversation. Intellectual property is on the table. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can join us here, whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Disney may be suffering another blow from the government, this time the federal government, that there's a proposal to rein in the copyright time length that is, you say, Chris, as many as 100 years past...
Over 110 years, I believe,
past the death of the creator of the thing?
Well, no, because there's no... It's not... I don't think it has to do with the death of the creator, because in the case of a corporation,
corporations don't die.
They don't die, right?
Corporations live forever. Okay.
If the copyright is owned by a corporation,
so there is a deadline
then...
on the corporate copyrights? What you're saying?
It is, but
okay.
It can be greater than 110 years. It's really complicated, the copyright system.
Yeah.
So I cannot, off the top of my head, tell you the details, but it's...
Yeah, you're not a copyright attorney.
I'm not a copyright attorney, but it's something like the copyrights can be renewed, so if the corporation renews it or something, then yeah, it can be like greater than 110 years.
By the way, I do want to let you know about Freedom's Phoenix. It is your source for all news, economic news, government overreach, insane government spending, and more. You can get today's headlines all in one place and from a fresh libertarian perspective. You can find it and more over at freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. But the proposal is to cut it down to 50-something years?
56.
56 years.
Why 56? I don't know.
Is that what it used to be before they extended it, maybe?
I don't know.
Okay.
These are good questions. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know the answer, but they have extended the Mickey Mouse laws. They've done it multiple times, and the whole reason for it is to they've extended copyright to protect Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the reason corporations can do over 110 years on copyright is because of Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
That's why these laws were passed, to extend copyright. So the plan appears to be an indirect attempt to punish Disney for its politics, including the opposition to Florida's Don't Say Gay law. Over the past decades, copyright protection terms have gradually been extended all around the world. In the United States, copyrights are currently enforceable for 70 years after the author's death, but that's only if like an individual owns it.
Mm-hmm.
If something was made for hire, corporation, protection is available for 95 years after publication or 120 years after creation, whichever is shorter. So there you go.
So it was 95 years after publication or 120 after creation. Okay,
yes.
So the first cartoon that ever had Mickey Mouse in it would be 95 years from that date. That's got to be coming soon anyway, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. If it hasn't, I want to say, did it already pass even? I forget now what the I'll story is with it. But yeah, it's definitely coming. Or
1928.
It passed.
So November, in the inception of Mickey Mouse was 1928 in the cartoon Steamboat Willie. And it was the 18th of November. So take 5 years off of that. And it's going to be next year.
Now, what's interesting is trademark law, I think. Is it trademark? I think it's trademark. They have trademarks on them, I think.
Oh, I would bet they do.
Which means that it doesn't. You can copy a Mickey Mouse work that predates it, but you can't.
That predates the trademark?
If the work
that was created. This is not legal advice.
Yeah, right. Right. Absolutely not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. But as I understand it, you will be able to copy like old Mickey Mouse like cartoons or stuff, like physically copy it, but you can't create like a work of art with Mickey Mouse because it's trademarked still.
Interesting.
It's something along those lines.
Did those last forever, trademarks?
Yeah. There's no expiration for a trademark as long as it keeps getting renewed, I think, or something to that effect. They can.
So you couldn't make a fan fiction with Mickey Mouse and sell it?
I don't think so. I think that would be fall foul of the law, but this is all really complicated stuff.
I'm just looking forward to that Mickey Goofy slash.
These terms were last changed in the Copyright Term Extension Act of 1998, which is also dubbed the Mickey Mouse Protection Act. The Mickey Mouse Protection Act is definitely what it's better known as. I would never have been able to have told you. Like I was guessing Mickey Mouse something like law or bill or something like that, but I knew it was something Mickey Mouse.
No, they wouldn't be able to put that in the bill name.
They probably could. But they didn't. The actual law is the Copyright Term Extension Act, but I would never remember that. But I definitely remember the Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Something.
Yeah, they don't usually give official notification of who paid them off to pass a given law. Yeah. So
it's true. This is a reference to Disney's famous cartoon character whose original copyright protections were about to expire. The new bill proposes to shorten the copyright term. Today, more than two decades after Steamboat Willie is at risk again. However, instead of extending the copyright term even further, Republican Senator Josh Hawley has just proposed a bill that would shorten it. Somebody clearly didn't get paid off. Somebody forgot to pay the bill there.
Yeah.
To pay the bribe to whatever politician.
Well, and it's just a guy putting a bill in, right? So, I mean, at this point, we don't know if it has any traction whatsoever.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact he wasn't paid off, but all of his opponents were.
Could be. But remember, he's a Republican, and the Democrats have control over the...
Yeah.
Government,
and
right?
I you know, there's something, if my recollection's correct, I think it has a lot of these extensions have occurred under the Democrats, but here's the thing, both the Republicans and Democrats get paid off by Disney,
of course,
so it's just I think the Democrats have been paid off more so than the Republicans, if my recollection's correct. Feel free to, you know, call me out on that one if I'm mistaken on that one. It's been a while since I've seen that data.
That said, I mean, this, as somebody who, and I think all of us agree on this, supports the end of intellectual property, at least reducing the restrictions is certainly a step in the right direction.
Sure. Maybe in my lifetime, I'll be able to make a copy of something. maybe. This is the crazy thing about copyright law. You know, it's something that's created in your lifetime or in the beginning of your lifetime. You will never be able to make a copy of it in your lifetime in most cases, because how many of us live to 120 years of age, right?
Eventually, that'll probably be the case. But yeah, these days, not so much.
Yeah. So the people who created, you know, Mickey Mouse.
Walt Disney.
Yeah, right. He didn't survive beyond,
didn't.
Yeah. So the newly introduced Copyright Clause Restoration Act proposes to lower the copyright term for new copyrights to 56 years. Ooh, only new copyrights, it sounds like. But didn't it say retroactively? That's so weird. This change would also apply retroactively.
Wow, that was badly written.
Definitely badly written. This change would also apply retroactively to companies with a market cap of, wait a minute, there's a limitation here, over $150 billion and a part of the movie or entertainment industries. So, wow. So
this is being targeted at Disney.
This is definitely targeted at Disney, yeah.
That's pretty lame.
The later conditions single out the major copyright companies, including Disney. This is not without reason, as the official announcement.
So it's just going to make copyright more complicated. Now you got to see how much money the company's making, and what a pain.
I mean, it's still good.
And then if Disney starts to fail, then all of a sudden they lose all their copyrights. Is that the idea? Like it said, it only applies to companies with a market cap of over $150 billion. So if Disney goes below $150 billion, then all of a sudden they lose all their.
That actually is a loophole.
No, then they would gain them back.
There's
actually a loophole here, because now all they have to do is split it up into multiple different companies for the copyrights and transfer them, and you totally get around this, they could
do that.
Yeah, this is
that's trivial for them.
Yeah, this seems like not a well thought out.
He knows this
bill.
Is going to fail.
I'm sure he does.
You know, and he's doing this just for re-election purposes.
Probably.
That's all it is. Yep. It's total political posturing.
He's catering to the conservatives.
That's what it is.
That's all this is that's going
they,
on
they
here.
Want to be. He wants to be able to say, I took a shot at Disney. Those darn Democrats stood in the way, though. Vote for me. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Hey, more coming up here. You can join the show, 603-283-6160. That's the number here. But, I mean, we as liberty-minded people would love to see the end to intellectual property, not just a reduction in it, but to make it so that if you publish a thing, that other people can borrow those ideas and do things with them, too.
Ideas are not scarce.
Right. You can copy them infinitely.
I don't want to be an information slave.
There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160. You can join us on the radio. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us. The number 603-283-6160. Bring up what you want in the remaining moments here. 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And also, don't forget about Bitcoin.com. If you're ready to start learning about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, head over to Bitcoin.com and click Get Started at the top of the page. They'll give you some introductory videos there, and you can spend as much time digging into that subject as you like, and as little as just 3 minutes to watch that first video, get some of the basic concepts down around why cryptocurrency is so different and so important. You can go learn that over at the Get Started section at Bitcoin.com. Plus, they also have a great news website where you can get the latest news headlines about the world of crypto every single day, updated regularly over at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com. And I do want to say thank you to Jack Glansberg, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support, and Jack is silver level, which means he's helping us out for $5 a month, helping us get the word out about Liberty to more great radio stations around the country. So you get some cool perks for joining over at amps.freetalklive.com. And then we go to a different Jack, I presume. Jack in Washington is on the line with us here. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I was curious. I'm a South Park fan for most of my life.
Okay.
And they've done the episodes with Mickey Mouse representing China. And I'm just wondering, you know, they've had Barbara Streisand on, Bette Midler, Hillary Clinton. It seems like they're immune to, like, lawsuits.
Satire
tends to be immune from that sort of thing.
A copyright lawyer will never tell you that. But there's also something. There's some sort of licensing thing that also happens in cases of satire, I believe, in many instances. So
wait, are you suggesting they licensed Mickey Mouse to make fun of him?
I don't think Walt Disney would have signed that.
I'm not entirely sure, but I know
I've seen the episode where they brought Mickey Mouse on, or at least one of them, and it is pretty sexual. I don't think they would have agreed to it either.
No.
I don't know the details of how any of this works, mind you. I'm not a copyright lawyer, but as I understand it, I know
there's exemptions for parody.
There are, right, and it's not across the board necessarily, but yes. But as I understand it, because copyright law, it's like a defense. It's not they can still sue
it's
you.
It's an affirmative defense,
right?
Anybody can sue anybody for anything. The question is whether or not they'll win.
Well, right,
yeah. A lot of cases just get tossed out right before they even get a hearing.
Often, Yankovic,
Weird Al, yeah,
Weird Al, yeah. For example,
Weird Al always seeks permission.
He does.
Right, that's right. His choice.
Yes, yes, and there's a reason for that.
Except
it's because
one time he screwed up, which was actually Amish Paradise.
Really?
And Coolio was mad at him for that, and Weird Al was very apologetic, and apparently it was a screw up with the lawyers or something. But he talks about that on his, I think, VH1 Behind the Music.
Huh.
But basically, what the story is, you know, there's a litigious environment out there, and if you want to avoid that, you gotta license.
Hmm.
So,
well, apparently, South Park's willing to go to the mat.
I don't know what their strategy is on that, but
they have a ton of great music on there too.
Music is almost certainly being licensed because they're not parodying it, right? They're using the music.
There's only certain parody, so it might just be that South Park is conforming to the law more carefully than you know Weird Al is, or something to that effect too.
Yeah, I guess the Comedy Central or Cartoon Network or wherever it is said, "All right, well, we're willing to take this on," and so they did. Mm. Jack, anything else you want to share?
Okay, nobody, are you there?
Nobody's here, and nobody cares.
Can you say this, South Park? And I mean this with love. Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm not a big enough fan. I didn't catch it. Thank you, Jack, for the call. What's the reference?
I'm not sure exactly, but they did say Jesus Christ a lot. That was Mr. Slave said that.
They also said the S word a bunch in one episode as well, which was like a few, like 200.
Yeah, they had a counter on the screen.
I mean, so it's kind of interesting. So that's like taking the Lord's name in vain, which at least for religious people, I think is taboo.
Offensive.
So offensive or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, but Mr. Slave was a pretty funny character.
All right, so we were talking about the FBI agent that Project Veritas was interviewing. I'm just going to play a little bit more of this interview here where they're asking him, you know, what he's expecting to come out of him coming out and revealing documents showing the FBI was investigating a news
media. I can't say he came out because he's still in the closet.
True. But he's speaking out at least.
He's speaking out, and that's good.
It's more than most of
them.
We
hear his voice coming from the closet like Tom Cruise.
wow.
All right, here's a little bit more of this interview from Project Veritas.
Always a strive to be an apolitical organization. That was that's the pitch that I got when I came in. You don't get paid by the cases. You don't get paid by the prosecutions. I get the same money whether or not that happens. It doesn't matter. The pursuit should be for truth. Very similar to what your organization stands for in name. It should be looking for what is the right answer here. If we clear a subject of wrongdoing, so be it. They should never know we were bothering them.
Going back to this intelligence work that you've done at the FBI, talk a little about the surveillance of American. That's been something we've heard reported in the news. Anything you can speak to about abuses of power therein?
So the FBI conducts two types of investigations, if you were going to go broadly speaking. One half is criminal. They're pretty straightforward. There's an allegation, there's information, indicates that a crime happened. We either have a victim or a subject that engaged in it, and you try to prove that case. That's pretty much as straightforward as it needs to be. There are obviously complications. But when you move into the other side, it's not what Americans believe it is. The intelligence investigation is meant for information, in the same way that the CIA doesn't have to prove a case against anybody overseas. An intelligence investigation is meant for intelligence, which is to say, knowledge about things. And they continue to propagate for the sake of knowledge itself.
And you have to wonder here, what percentage of the FBI investigations are criminal and what percentage of them are intelligence investigations?
Yeah.
What's the breakdown of how much time their agents are spending? What portions of the bureaucracy are focusing on one thing versus the other?
And the knowledge doesn't have to be actionable. It doesn't have to be operational. What we'd call tactical information. It could just be knowledge that we just have now forever logged in a computer system. And so that doesn't require that you've done anything wrong.
Right. So the FBI, as we know, has been digging for the last 15, 17 years or so on the Free State Project.
Yeah.
Because we know they approached Agent Phil Christiana, who's one of their special agents out of the Boston division, approached Dave Ridley as early as 2005 when he was one of the earliest movers here to Keene. Before there was really barely anyone here, with the exception of a handful of early movers who, to their credit, were stirring things up. I mean, there was civil disobedience in some of the earliest days here in
Keene. Shouldn't be a federal issue, though.
Well, anything that's a threat to the status quo, even though it's a peaceful one, right? Like, they want to find some violence. They want to find something to stick somebody with.
And if they can't find it, they'll come up with their own terror plot and see if they can hook people into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. They basically send people into groups and, for intelligence information who have done nothing wrong, have not even been accused of doing anything wrong, looking for things that they can charge you with.
Correct.
That's what he's talking about.
And that's, as we pointed out, it's been going on for many years. That very same agent is the person who is behind the Crypto 6 investigation. He wasn't the one that was doing the day-to-day stuff, but he was pulling the strings ostensibly from up above. He was the same person who tried to put nobody in prison for 80 to 100 years for selling cannabis. And he was the one who, if you go back to Nobody's trial when he was known as Rich Paul for selling cannabis, you can see this federal agent take the stand because they had to put him on the stand because nobody didn't take a plea deal. So we get to hear him answer all kinds of interesting questions, explaining that the FBI doesn't ever record interviews with the people that they talk to.
And I'll tell you what, if you ever get interviewed by the FBI and you decide not to immediately invoke your right to counsel, which is not a bad plan.
Mm-hmm. That'd be hard to do if you don't know they're the FBI, though.
The second...
Well, then it's not an interview per se.
True. An interview is like they've identified themselves and you're probably being detained. But if you do decide to speak to them, I would suggest demanding that it be recorded so that they can't just make up whatever lie they want to about what you say.
Here's the thing about law enforcement, though. They can lie to you. So if
that's true.
If you say, well, I insist on this being recorded, they can say, yeah, okay, I'm recording it.
No. You provide the recording device.
While you're being detained.
Then you don't talk to them. If your attorney's in the room, then the attorney has a phone, and the attorney can get that recording. Mm. But otherwise, probably best not
Most
to talk.
Most of the time, you don't have your attorney with you when the FBI tries to question you.
Then you don't talk to them.
Yes, right. And that's the right answer.
All right. So I'm going to post this video over on our social media platform, which you can access anytime over at social.freetalklive.com. It's a 15-minute long interview. We only played a few clips here tonight. It's definitely worth giving it a listen, I think. I watched the whole thing earlier today. So if you're curious to know about the undercover FBI agent who's coming out and speaking out, we'll share it with you at social.freetalklive.com. See you tomorrow.